Is World War III just around the corner in Ukraine? I don't know, but I do know that the globalists love war because it advances the deep state objective of a one world government. Stay tuned and I'll tell you more. Hey everybody, Alex Newman here from The New American. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Behind the Deep State. I'm sure if you watch any of the fake media, you've seen the war drums are banging and banging and banging and banging. Beijing Biden is supposedly keeping us safe from Russia, or at least he's keeping Ukraine safe from Russia. And it's amazing to see all these Democrats so concerned about border security and sovereignty. If only they had the same concern that they have about Ukraine's borders and Ukraine's sovereignty, about America, we would be in really good shape. But I want to talk to you guys about the potential, at least, for the escalation of these tensions. Now, I'm not naive. I'm not one who thinks that Putin is going to save anybody from the New World Order. In fact, Putin is a criminal, a gangster, and in my opinion, a deep state toady. Yeah, he's a strong man. Yeah, he's former KGB. But I want to break down some of what's going on here, folks. I know there's a lot of naivete in the conservative movement. People who are saying, oh, Putin's our friend and Putin's pro-family. And look, he even did this law in Russia, so he can't be all that bad. I'm not one of those people, and I don't think you should be either. In fact, we've done whole episodes on Putin's role in the New World Order. He's building up a Eurasian Union. He's working diligently within the United Nations to further empower and expand that organization. So I don't believe for one moment that Putin is some sort of defender of Christianity and Western civilization, not even for a moment. But I want to talk about this prospect of war. Right, we've been hearing more and more, and the rhetoric's really escalating. You've got the Russians saying they'll vaporize American cities with nuclear bombs, and you've got Washington, D.C. saying we're going to send more troops, and we're going to threaten sanctions, and we're going to do this, that, and the other thing over Ukraine. Now, I'm not a Ukraine expert, but I don't think you need to be a Ukraine expert. I was there a couple years ago. It was a beautiful country, wonderful people. I think some of them are quite fond of Russia. Some of them not so much. In fact, some of them loathe Russia and they want to be more involved with the EU. But I think what they're doing here to the Ukrainians is they're giving them another one of these false choices that the deep state and the globalists always give us. You can choose poison A or poison B. Those are your options. Aren't you lucky that we gave you choices and you have freedom? And so poison pill A is, hey, let's cozy up to Vladimir Putin and this mass murdering crazy dictatorship in Russia so they can be part of the Eurasian Union and they can fit nicely into the new world order of regional orders. Or the other option is, hey, let's merge Ukraine into the European Union, Gorbachev once called the European Soviet, a very, very good term, the EUSSR. That's what I call it. And to be clear, the European Union is tyrannical, it's insane, it's undemocratic, it's ridiculous, and it is a project of the globalist deep state. We've broken that down on this program many times before. So the Ukrainians are being given these two terrible choices. One, you cozy up with former KGB officer Putin. Two, you cozy up with the European Union, an unelected cabal of lunatics, and then you do the transgenderism and the open borders, and you lose your national identity, and basically you submit to the rule of Brussels. Well, both of those are terrible choices, but that's how they're dividing the Ukrainian people. Now, the war drums are banging, and I think this is significant, folks, because one of the things that must be understood about the deep state's attitude to war is that it is very, very useful. Now, in 1968, a deep state globalist from the Council on Foreign Relations, his name was Lincoln Bloomfield, put together a report for the State Department, the Institute for Defense Analyses, and other outfits. It was called A World Effectively Controlled by the United Nations. And the goal of this document was to chart out a course for how you could get from where we were to a world effectively controlled by the United Nations. And what Bloomfield concluded in this report is that war and the threat of war are the fastest, easiest way to convince people to surrender their national sovereignty and to move away from the nation-state model and toward the model of global government. And so World War I brought us way closer to that goal. Right. Before World War I, we had sovereign nations, we had empires, and we had governments that kind of were looking after their own interests, their own people. After World War I, the League of Nations was born. Now, that was the first big globalist project. Obviously, it failed because the U.S. Senate refused to participate. Then you had World War II. World War II gave birth to the United Nations and the Bretton Woods institutions, the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, right? They actually used World War II to create the nucleus of what would eventually become the European Union, the coal and steel community. So World War II really put the globalist cause forward by massive, massive amounts. And I think that needs to be understood about World War II. It also empowered the mass murdering dictator Joseph Stalin like never before. The U.S. government went in and built him all these factories so he could build weapons. They gave him all this technology, all these goods and services. They were flying it through on U.S. Air Force planes, flying it through Montana and then Alaska over to the Soviet Union, basically empowering Stalin under the Lend-Lease program. So a lot of globalist objectives there were accomplished with World War II. Well, World War III, or at least the threat of World War III, is another possible mechanism to move us further in that direction, especially if it were to be catastrophic, or even the threat of catastrophe, right? The threat of nuclear annihilation, the threat of entire cities being wiped off the face of the map. And so there's a few things that we need to consider here. You know, and again, I'm not naive about Russia. Like, unfortunately, I think many in the conservative movement have become. They're not the good guys. And I don't think you can understand this without understanding this piece of the puzzle. Anatoly Golitsyn, probably the most important defector to ever defect from the Soviet Union. He was in Department D of the KGB. That was their disinformation department where they were doing long-range strategic deception. I actually have some of his books right behind me. He's got New Lies for the Old, New Lies for Old, and the Perestroika Deception. And what he argued was that the Soviet government, the international communist movement, was preparing a long-range deception. He said the Soviet Union was going to collapse, and it was going to look like communism had succumbed to the forces of freedom. He said there would be liberalization in Eastern Europe. He said the Berlin Wall would even come down. He even named names. He talked about who some of the fake anti-communist leaders were going to be in Eastern Europe that would supposedly liberate these nations from communism. And out of, I think, about 205 predictions that he made, something like 200 of them have already come true. Many of the things that he said that sounded preposterous at the time have now been confirmed through Soviet archives, like Lech Walesa, and we've reported on this at The New American, the leader of the Solidarity movement in Poland. Golitsyn had proposed and suggested that this man was not to be trusted, that he was involved with the Soviets. Well, now we know from the Soviet archives he was on the payroll of the KGB. His code name was Bolek. Now, it's still not widely known, but it has been widely reported even in the mainstream media. And so this man was right about so much. And he made all these predictions, by the way, folks, in the early 1980s. The Berlin Wall was still there. The Cold War was, you know, full speed ahead. The Soviet Union was, you know, powerful and all the rest of it. And he told us what was going to happen. And he was right on every single point. And he said all of this was going to culminate. This is one of the predictions that has not come true yet. All this was going to culminate in what he described as a second October revolution that would result in the entire world falling under a one-world communist government. He said the Chinese and the Soviets would be leading that effort. So that's one of the key pieces of the puzzle that everybody needs to understand, to truly understand what's going on in geopolitics, what's going on with Russia, what's going on with China. And of course, we'll do a China and Taiwan another time. We don't have time to address that in today's episode. But all this is working together, right? And this may be the catalyst, folks, right? Have the Russians invade Ukraine, have the communist Chinese invade the free Chinese on Taiwan, and boom, global cataclysm, right? The United States gets involved, the Japanese get involved, the Australians get involved, maybe the cowardly Europeans get involved, and presto, we have a global conflagration, millions of people dying, nuclear bombs flying. What are people going to demand after that? They're going to demand anything to make it stop, anything to make sure their sons and their daughters are not killed in war, anything to make sure that the grocery store shelves will be stocked once again. So is that what's going to happen? I don't know. Is it a plausible scenario? Absolutely. But Anatoly Golitsyn was missing one critical piece of the puzzle. And this is not his fault. I mean, he came out of the Soviet Union. The Soviets didn't exactly have the, you know, the internet and free speech and free press. And you could just walk into a library and get a book, right? It was a mass murdering communist dictatorship. They were not known for the ability of people to gather accurate historical information. So the key piece of the puzzle that Golitsyn, and I think his predictions must be taken seriously. I think there is a concerted effort by the current people running the Russian government, the current people running a lot of the European, Eastern European governments, and the current people running the mass murdering dictatorship in China to bring about this second global October revolution, where finally the United States would fall, Americans would be disarmed, the West would cave in on itself, and communism would be victorious. But the piece of the puzzle that Anatoly Golitsyn was missing, and I don't think you could truly understand, again, geopolitics without this piece that Golitsyn was missing, is the fact that the communist movements of the world were backed by the deep state from the beginning. Okay, one of the books that I have behind me, and we've talked about it before on this program, by Anthony Sutton, one of America's most important historians. Okay, this is a guy who was at Stanford University. He blew the whistle on the Skull and Bones. He blew the whistle on the Trilateral Commission. He blew the whistle on how the Wall Street banks funded Adolf Hitler and the Nazis. And one of his most important books was Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution. And in this book, he explains and he cites and he shows U.S. government documents and corporate documents showing that the Bolshevik Revolution, the overthrow of Russia, the enslavement of Russia is actually a better way to put it, was funded and orchestrated by some of the most powerful players on Wall Street. He's got the names. He's got the documents. It's not something that we can debate. It's not something that's up to your interpretation. It's a fact. The Wall Street bankers gave millions of dollars to Lenin and to Trotsky and to other communist revolutionaries for the purpose of overthrowing Russia and bringing it and making it into a gigantic slave state. And obviously that was a successful revolution. The same thing happened in China, and we've done whole episodes on what happened in China. Globalist subversives from the Council on Foreign Relations, people like Rockefeller, people like George Marshall, former Secretary of State, former Secretary of Defense during World War II, big time individual. They stabbed Chiang Kai-shek, our ally, the leader of nationalist China, of free China, in the back. They put an arms embargo on him. They made sure that Stalin would end up with all the Japanese supplies in Manchuria so that they could be handed to the communist Chinese so that they could overthrow China and bring China into the giant communist slave empire. So from the start, folks, the Russian Communist Revolution, the Chinese Communist Revolution were backed, funded, and made possible by deep state players in Washington, D.C., by deep state players in New York on Wall Street, by deep state players in London. And none of the things happening in the world make sense until you have that piece of the puzzle. So when you combine what we know from Anatoly Golitsyn, right, phony collapse of communism, phony collapse of the Soviet Union for the purpose of ultimately bringing about a Chinese and Russian-led second October revolution that would enslave the world under a global communist government. And you know that the communist movements of the world were funded, started, led, directed by deep state operatives, by the very capitalists that the communists pretended to oppose. You combine that with what we know from the CFR's Lincoln Bloomfield about how war is so useful for advancing global government. It's so useful for transcending the nation state. And you realize, folks, humanity is in grave danger. These maniacs, there is very little to prevent these maniacs from starting another war. It's not them who's going to die. They're going to send your sons. They're going to send your daughters and your brothers and your sisters. That's who's going to go die in these wars, not them. They're going to be hiding out in their little bunkers. They're buying up big resorts and retreats in New Zealand and out in Montana. These people know something that you don't know, and they're not going to be the ones who suffer the consequences. So when you combine all this together, folks, we need to realize the deep state is up to no good. They've lost so much ground on the COVID. Nobody believes the COVID lies anymore. They know they've lost that. They're going to have to come up with something big to distract from the implosion of the COVID narrative, to escape justice from the crimes that were committed during the COVID hysteria. And another world war, or at least the threat of another world war, would be very, very useful in pushing that agenda forward. We'll leave it at that, folks. I mean, there's so much more we could say, but don't buy into the trap, right? It's not, oh, if you don't support the Ukraine, then you like Putin. No, right? And it's not, if you don't support Putin, then you like the decadent, disgusting, totalitarian European Union. No, right? We don't have to like Putin, and we don't have to like the European Union. Why can't the Ukrainians just be free, right? Why can't they just be a free, sovereign, and independent nation? Why do we have to pick sides? Why do they have to align with the totalitarian EU or the totalitarians in Moscow? It's crazy, right? We're being led into more deception for the purpose of advancing global tyranny. That's what the deep state is up to here, folks. So tear through the lies. Share this video out. You know YouTube hates us. You know the fascists at Facebook hate us. Share this out through your networks. You know, find it on alternative video platforms. If you need to, re-upload it onto your own. But get the word out, folks. Let's not let these criminals and monsters deceive us any longer. Go to thenewamerican.com. You get all of our information, all of our videos, totally uncensored. You don't have to worry about the clowns at YouTube or Twitter or whatever censoring what you can see, what you can read. And you can share it out right from there. You can send it to your email buddies, your friends, your family, your neighbors, your kids. Doesn't matter. You can help get the word out right there. You can also subscribe to the magazine, and you can get signed up for free to our daily headlines, the most important news that you need each and every weekday. Go there. Get it. We're never going to defeat the deep state if we don't even know what they're up to, how they operate, and who they are. I'm Alex Newman. This is Behind the Deep State. Thank you so much for watching. Until next week, God bless you all.
If you enjoyed this video, please make sure to subscribe,
hit like, hit that little bell so that you'll be notified whenever we post new videos. And also, please make sure to share this video with your friends. Email's a great way to do it. Remember, there are powerful forces working to steal our freedom and destroy our country. We need to work together, expose those behind the deep state. Otherwise, you can kiss your liberties goodbye.